Pastor Irvin McNeil, if you go on their website, you'll see their leadership team, and he is the chaplain. And I'm just going to say that and let you say what else you need to say. Won't take up more of your time.
It is so good to be with you again today. We were here about a year ago, and last time I was here, I had a nice crowd with me. We had a choir, but we no longer have a choir. But I'm excited that you wanted to hear me again today. Most of you, if you ever heard me preach, you know I'm a big mouth preacher, loud mouth Baptist preacher, get all excited about the Word of God. Amen. And so we plan to do the same today. Amen. Before I get started, though, I did promise my wife I'd give her just a minute to just kind of overview for some of the ones who weren't here for in Sunday school about our radio ministry, Unshackled. How many Unshackled listeners do we have? Unshackled is a powerful, powerful ministry, and God has used it now for 67 years. Even during the television bust and everything that's going on, Unshackled continues to grow. Amen. And now in 15 languages, in places, I mean, speaking in languages that we could never speak, going into places that we could never go. Unshackled is heard all underneath the ocean and submarines and so forth. And of course, we're excited about what God is doing through Unshackled. I told my wife to take just a minute of my preaching time and just share that. And if she gets too long, I'll just have to throw a book at her. Amen. So I'm going to wait. I'm not even going to sit down.
Let me just say that one of the things that...
Here you go. There you are.
Okay. One of the things that I have practiced from the time that the Lord called me to marriage, when I said yes, I went to the scriptures in a concordance, and I said, Lord, show me the she, her, wife, and woman, because I want to please the Lord. So I obey him. Let me just say, Unshackled, as my husband has already said, is 67 years old. We produce one story every Saturday. We have since September the 23rd, 1950, and we thank the Lord for the true stories of God in the life of individuals. For those of you who were not here during the Sunday school hour, let me just say that in the vetting process, sometimes I mention it, we do stories that it might only take us 6 months. That means we've got a lot of information. Many times we have a book, and I ask two pages of information if it's a 300-page book. Anyway, because we want to know the story, life of the person very, very well. Not only do we want to know the life of a person, what they have done and what they've come, as they've come to salvation, but we want to know what kind of life that they are living after salvation. The scripture says we're supposed to have a good reputation within and without. And so we question not only the church of God about the person, but the outside individuals that know the individual. Sometimes the businesses where they work at. So the vetting process is extremely significant. Let me just say that you can go to the Unshackled website. That's www.unshackled.org. There are many of the programs online, and though we don't have an app, you can still listen. You cannot download the program, but you can listen to everyone that's on there on your iPhone. So we thank the Lord for the many open doors that he has made for this unusual program. As I mentioned earlier in the Sunday school hour, the Word of God tells us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "And go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every nation." That should be the passion of every believer, because in every person is the breath of God. And the breath of God is in us. And so we want every nation and every tongue to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, the Lord says when every nation has heard, he will return, and I'm ready for him to come back. And so Unshackled proclaims the true story of God to those. So let me just encourage you to go to the website. And additionally, recently we produced a film. It's a 6-minute film of a convert of Pacific Garden Mission who, by the way, was a gang enforcer. And so you can find, I believe, that that film is on the PGM website. It's not on the Unshackled website yet, but we will in the future begin to produce short films of the stories of the converts of Unshackled so we can reach more individuals that don't listen. They have time to look, and we thank the Lord for the many open doors that he is making. As my husband or brother Pastor Dave mentioned, there are 15 languages. There are many cultures that beg us, that come crying and screaming for Unshackled in their nation because they know that these stories are so impactful. It tells a story of a person from childhood to whatever age. So it doesn't offend the listener. They are drawn into it. Children, senior citizen, people that are representatives in our government sent us money. And he said, I don't even know his name, but he sent money to us and they gave me the letter. And he said, I'm not asking you to thank me because it didn't come from you asking. It came from God. So many individuals, children, people that are very, very poor, people in prison, listen, and they send little money to us because of what Unshackled has done. Many, many individuals tell us how they were traveling down a highway. A person was listening to Unshackled on a Sunday, or someone driving down a highway getting ready to commit suicide. And Unshackled, they turned the radio dial, and Unshackled was on, and God spared their lives. So I thank the Lord for the privilege of serving there, and thank you so much for letting us come.
And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Today I want to preach a message called Walk in the Light, A Talk is Cheap. Walking in the light is walking in fellowship with God. I believe if there was ever a time when we needed to walk in the light and have fellowship with God, I believe it's 2017. And all God's people said? Amen. As my wife talked about people hearing the gospel through Unshackled, well, they need to see the gospel through my life and yours. Amen. They ought to know that there's something different about you and I. Those of us who profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there ought be something different about how we act. There ought be something different about how we talk. There ought be something different about where we go and how we spend. There ought be something different about born-again believers. I believe one of the greatest problems facing America today is the very fact that most professing believers in America is not really in fellowship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a proven fact, and I've preached from coast to coast, and I've talked to pastors all over this great nation, and what I'm being told is that most professing believers has never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Most professing believers does not tithe. Most professing believers will not read the Bible daily. They do not pray daily. And they have never handed out a gospel tract. By the way, I'm preaching primarily to Christians this morning, but if you're not saved this morning, I want you to know you can be saved today. Amen. I would gladly, my wife, or I know Pastor Scott, we will gladly, and there's others, who will take the word of God and we will show you. We'll not embarrass you, but we'll show you how you can be born again. I want to challenge you today to walk in fellowship with the Lord. You need to be in fellowship with the Lord. The Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of the Revelation, was a man known as the Beloved Disciple. This man had fellowship with God. Amen. He had fellowship with God. You know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they wrote their Gospels to regular audiences, but John's audience was the entire world, and it begins like the book of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so we want to pick this up, and I'm going to read a few extra verses. I intend to begin reading in verse number 5, but I want to go ahead and begin in verse number 1. The Apostle John is the guy who laid his head on the chest of Jesus Christ. Boy, that would have been a privilege, amen? But you still can. You didn't miss out. You still can. Amen. Lay your head on his breast. The invitation is still open. The Bible says, and I'm reading from the KJV. By the way, the KJV was the Bible that Pacific Guard Mission started with. Amen. And we still use the KJV. Someone said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amen. And so we still use the KJV. I like the withers and thithers and so forth. And but the Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we, John is including himself, which we have heard, he's talking about the Lord Jesus, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. I like that. That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Let me just pause to say that fellowship is far more than just a carry-in meal or a potluck dinner. Amen. Fellowship with God is far more than being a member of the local donut club or even the peanut butter making society or whatever kind of peanut butter it was, or butter, apple butter, I think it was. It's far more than that. There's nothing wrong with making apple butter with other believers. There's nothing wrong with a carry-in meal. But fellowship with God has the idea of serving God and being a soul winner and being light in a dark world. Being in unity within a fellowship. There's too much disunity among church members. In fact, I preached a revival last year down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and the pastor there told me of a church not very far from his that needed a roof on the building. And so they all met, and they began to talk about what color they wanted this roof to be. And they could not decide what exact color, so they finally settled on two colors. And so what they did was there was 50% that wanted one color and 50% that wanted the other color. And so they roofed the church with two different colors of shingles. And so they sat underneath their perspective colors. Years ago, I preached a revival down in a small town called Beaver Creek, Ohio, and not far from there, Harmony Baptist Church had just split. Oxymoron, wouldn't you say? The Bible says here in verse number 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him or with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would speak through me in these next few minutes. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. My text verse is verse number 5. My text verse here is verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And the title of my message is Walk in the Light, or Talk is Cheap. Walk in the light, or talk is cheap. You know, you and I, especially nowadays with higher education and articulation and oration and all these other things, we can make our mouths say anything we want our ears or the ears of our friends to hear. Amen? But it doesn't mean that necessarily that we have fellowship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 104 and 105, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to have fellowship with God, my friend, it will be through the word of God. And obedience to the word of God. Do you know the word of God? Are you spending time in the word of God? And if not, then my question would be, why not? Amen. If not now, the question would be, well, when are you planning to get started? What do you know about the Bible? Most professing believers know far more about everything than they know about the Word of God. And that's a shame. How about you? Have you ever read the Bible from Genesis to Revelations? What do you know about the nation of Israel? I'm talking from start to finish. It is highly significant. Amen? It's very significant. What do you know about some of the Old Testament characters? You know, nowadays, many people think that the Old Testament is irrelevant. Amen? It's just as irrelevant now as it was when it was written. Amen? It's the Word of God. In fact, most of the Bible is found in the Old Testament. Jesus is the light of the world. That's what the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You could and you should be filled with light. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, he says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I believe it says so shine because God is a soul lover. For God so loved the world. There's a difference between letting your light shine and letting it so shine. It should be brilliant. Amen. It should be brilliant. Those of us who's been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, ought to have a brilliant testimony for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even in 2017. Amen. Even in 2017, as I travel and preach, I'm beginning to believe that most professing believers in America today believe that God has some special dispensation for American people. I don't find that in my Bible. In fact, many of us in America are acting anymore as if the Lord Jesus Christ was an American citizen. Born in New York, we've issued him a Social Security number. And we're making statements like, well, God understands me. God understands us. I mean, after all, us McNeils, we've always been that way. My grandpa was that way. Well, it's time to change. Amen. It's time to change. It's time to change. We need to walk in the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And listen, God is light, and light and darkness does not mix. Amen. There is no darkness in God at all. Notice what it says there in verse number 5. This then is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you. We had the opportunity this morning to declare the word of God unto a dear woman that we met over in, where was it we stayed last night? Someplace. But there was a woman, amen, who just drove all the way from Texas, and she was a wayward woman, but she was a kind woman. She was a friendly woman. And so I went right out to the automobile and got a gospel tract, and I shared Jesus Christ with her. When was the last time you handed out a gospel tract? When was the last time you shared your faith with someone who does not know the Lord? By the way, listen, if you've never handed out a gospel tract, it'll scare you to death. So I'm going to teach you how to do it this morning. Next time you have the opportunity, first thing you need to do is get some tracts. If you don't have any, pastor will provide you with some. Sneak up on a parked car, stick the thing under the windshield wipe, and run before they catch you. Amen. That'll get you started. Amen. Maybe next time you'll be bold enough to wait on the driver. Amen. Turn with me briefly to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning in verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5. I hope you don't mind thumping through the Word of God. Amen. I'm a Bible thumper. Amen. I hope you don't mind thumping through the Bible. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That is not a suggestion. And notice past. He said, for you were sometimes. That is, at one time. That is, before you got saved. Amen. You were a child of darkness. Now are you light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, God said, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. We need to be careful. Amen. We need to be very cautious. We need to be careful, circumspect. You ought to look it up in the Hebrew. It's a very interesting word. And God says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Well, I'll just explain it. You just need to be careful. You need to be careful of feet where you go. You need to be careful of eyes what you see. I believe in separation. How many of y'all believe in separation? Amen. I believe in separation, not alienation, but I believe that we ought to separate from the world. My wife and I were married in 1980, and we joined the Fundamental Baptist Church, and they preached against everything that doesn't grow. Amen. And so because of it, we haven't been into a movie since 1983. Amen. We're known as them. Amen. Oh, no, don't say it. Don't tell them. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. We're known as them. Oh, no, that's all right. Don't mention it to them. Amen. Not him. Amen. You know how he feels. Amen. I make sure of it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let me tell you what a wise man is. A wise man is just someone who knows right and does right. A wise man is just someone who knows right and does right. He's not a Philadelphia lawyer. He's not a rocket scientist. He's a born-again believer who knows right and does right because it's right. Because the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Just need to do right. Amen? By the way, doing right is not always easy. Amen? It's not always easy. As a parent, sometimes doing right is not always right, not always easy. Sometimes it's not always easy to chasing your children. Sometimes it's not easy to say no to your neighbor. Amen. Just ought to go ahead and do right. Amen. Just do right. I'm a neighbor who won't loan you my lawnmower. You can't get the lawnmower, the weed eater, or nothing else. I'd go cut the grass for you before I'd loan you my mower. Because I don't want you to tell me it was broke when you got it. Amen. But trust me, my mower was not broken. Amen. Not when you got it or after you get it. Amen. My mower works well. Turn back with me to our text in the book of 1 John. Book of 1 John. I want you to notice something about this passage of Scripture. If you have a King James Bible, this is an iffy passage. Amen. This is what I call an iffy passage. You see, talk is cheap. You know, we can say anything that we want to say. In fact, most of us are talking far too much. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, that was a pitiful amen for so many people. I see some of you don't agree with me on that one. But the truth of the matter is most of us are motor mouths. Talk a hungry dog off of a meat wagon. Notice what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 1. The first three words in 1 John 1, 6 is, if we say. The first three words in John 1 John 1, 8 is, if we say. The first three words in 1 John 1:10 is, if we say, if we say, if we say. You know, men, we can tell the wife that we love her, but love is action, amen? Love is kind, amen? Love doesn't keep records of wrongs. It's not bitter. It's not unkind. It's read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And listen, too many women, even who come to Pacific Guard Mission, has been snookered by some clown who said, I love you. Love is action. Love washes dishes around my house. Love make up beds. Love operate washing machines and lawnmowers and all kinds of good things. Amen. For God so loved the world that he told us, right? No. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Say that with me. He gave. Say it again. He gave. He gave his only begotten son. Listen, walking and living in fellowship with God is costly. You've got to give something. It's called sacrifice. Notice here, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, you know, in my sanctified imagination, the first question in my mind is what would the motive be for saying that I have fellowship with God and knowing that I don't? Because the answer is simple. It's because I'm more interested in what everybody thinks of me than what God knows about me. I want my wife and I want others to think well of me. So it doesn't matter what God knows. We've all been there. That's the truth. Every one of us. Every one of us. We've been there. Hey, listen to me. We're going to go on down the line here because, you know, all we have to do is confess that stuff. You know, two of the worst problems facing our churches today is dry eyes and empty altars. And most of us aren't broken over much of anything. No matter how many church members has cancer, no matter what's going on, most of us aren't really broken about it. And our prayer amounts to nothing more than telling God what to do. Well, it's not the will of God to heal everyone with cancer. Amen? He doesn't. Many people die with it. Children even. Our God is an awesome God. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We live in a world that's sin-cursed. Here recently, when that storm hammered Texas, and we heard some talking about the people in Texas must be really, really bad people, and we shared with them, no, the people in Texas are no worse than the people in Boston. Amen. It's just a channel through which those storms come. Don't get the idea that because that storm hammered Houston, that those folks are worse than the ones in Colorado, or Illinois, or Delaware, or wherever. If we say, notice what he says here, if we say, the motive here, amen, is because I want people to think well of me. Well, I have a song here. I want you to turn with me to number 605, amen. Because we love to sing these songs. And by the way, the church that I attend, amen, it's a predominantly white church. It's an independent fundamental Baptist church. And because it's a conservative church, it doesn't matter to me. I wouldn't care if they were all green. I like the songs. Amen. I love the preaching. I love the soul winning. I love giving to missionaries. I love the whole nine yards. And that's why I go. But friend, I'm telling you this morning, too often we're singing a lie. It's as much sin to sing a lie as it is to tell a bold-faced lie. And we like to pride ourselves about our hymns, don't we? We love our hymns, don't we? We love the words of our hymns. Pastor Dave had us, all of us, to read the words of the hymn before we started to sing it. And I want you to look with me at the words in this hymn in 605, Living for Jesus. We love to sing this. If you're not careful, you'll get a little teary-eyed when you sing this. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, obedience, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. Living for Jesus, wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial, my goodness. We don't like trials, a part of my cross. Living for Jesus, through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile, seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself for thee. For thou art not atonement, this give thyself for me. I own no other master. Oh, would to God that that was true, because I'm telling you now, something's wrong in America. The greatest problem facing America is that we're silent as believers. And let me tell you, every other group in America is lively. And all God's people said, amen. They are lively. And they're marching in the streets. And they're demanding their rights. And we're strangely silent. And the Bible says if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 13, it says, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Well, look at verse number 10. My watch up. I took my watch off, but this thing is not saved, man. It's just flying up here this morning. I need about an hour and a half here today. At least that. Maybe I'll just take an hour and a half and pastor can throw a book at me. Amen. And notice what it says. In verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. Some of us acting like we're sinless. Amen? We're acting like we're sinless. And listen, we had that problem at the mission. And our president, for one, has reminded every one of us, listen, don't strut around here as if you have nothing wrong in your life. Don't lord your Christianity over these poor homeless people. You show them the love of God. Or maybe you ought to consider a different ministry. Amen. We can help you find another job if that's all you want. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Oh, my God, we all sinned. Amen. This does refer to the past. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We didn't save ourselves. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. Look with me at verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. This is self-righteousness, which is also very, 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 very dangerous. It's pride. Amen? It's pride. It's what it is. And it smells. Self-deception. Thinking that I'm something when I'm nothing. The Bible addresses all these things. I wished I had more time. If you saw how many notes I have up here, it would scare you half to death. Amen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, it's all about me. It's all about me. That's why I say I have fellowship, knowing I walk in darkness. That's why I say I have no sin. I'm just fine. More people should be like me. Bless God. No. Being deceived does not mean that everything's all right. It just means I'm deceived. That's all. Whether I'm young or old. You know, I wish to God I could live my childhood over again. I was brought up in a home with a God-fearing mom and dad. And as a kid, I thought I knew better than mom and dad. I was just waiting until I got old enough so I could do my own thing. And guess what? My own thing almost killed me. Had it not been for the prayers of my parents, I'd be in hell today. I thank God that they were both alive when I got saved and finally was able to go home and get on both knees and say, please forgive me. By the way, if your parents are still alive, you ought to show them some love. Amen. You ought to show them some love. If we say that we have no sin. But look at 1 John 1:9. And this is why our altars are so empty. Most of us aren't confessing our sins. Are you confessing your sins? We need to confess our sins. We need to get along with God. Listen, we need to get along with God. Most prayer should be done in private. We need to get along with God, whether it's outside or whether you're washing the dishes or cutting the grass, whatever it is. But you need to get along with God. You need to talk to God about that stuff. You know the stuff I'm talking about. You know the stuff I'm talking about. All that little stuff. I'm not talking about, you know, most of us aren't murderers and adulterers and drug addicts and alcoholics and all that stuff. No, that's not our problem. Our problem is that other stuff. You know the stuff. You know the stuff. That stuff that we've decided is not even sin anymore. We need to confess that stuff to God. Because if I'm reading this book right, God is a righteous God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And we're going to stand before him one day. We're going to have to give an account of the things done in the body, whether they were good or whether they were bad. I think that's going to be a sad day for most of us. I think that's going to be a sad day. Oh, my. Listen. By the way, prayer is not telling God what to do. Amen? But we need to confess our sins to God. There's no one that sinneth not. There is no one that sinneth not. And we need to talk to God. Listen, we need to talk to God about our sins, the thoughts that we have. Sometimes we can get awfully short with our loved ones, can't we? I know I'm the only one. How many married folks do we have in the house? Amen. It's awfully easy sometimes to get real short with your loved one, isn't it? No. Amen. And if that's not enough, I said no. Or a look that says something worse than no. Amen. Like this one lady told her husband, don't you ever look at me in that tone of voice. But last but not least, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. This is what it's all about right here. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, but. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Amen. Conjunction, junction. I thank God for the conjunctions in the Bible. Amen. but God. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. I'm told about many years ago, before they had all these outboard motors and so forth, about these galley slaves that powered the ships for the rich people. And the bottom of the ship was filled with slaves, and they were oarsmen. And one would stand in the middle of the floor and call the cadence, pull, pull, and then he'd take his turn at the oar. And that's a true picture of fellowship, a body of believers pulling together for the self-same purpose. One of the things that got me excited, I've been on vacation for the last couple of weeks. In fact, I'm on vacation today, but it really doesn't matter to me, amen? But I called back to Pacific Garden Mission. I text the president and say, Pastor, I'm going on deputation Sunday because the church over in Tennessee, Illinois is interested in the water bill. He said, glory to God. Well, it takes a collective effort, amen, to do something about a water bill, especially one big as ours, amen. We need unity. We need fellowship. I walked away from a church in Iowa years ago. I drove out there without my wife one Sunday morning to preach to this crowd, and I'm telling you, it was ice cold in that place. Amen. Nobody said amen. Nobody moved. Nobody did much of anything, and I preached my heart out. But I could smell it. They were having what they call a carry-in meal, which is the same as a potluck dinner. They were having a carry-in meal after the service. And so I could smell the chicken and the potato salad and bean salad and everything else oozing up through the floor. And so as soon as I was done with the message, nobody came forward for the invitation. Now, there was not much going on there. And so we went downstairs to the fellowship hall, and boy, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, this bunch of dead people had turned into a bunch of clucking hens. I mean, they was talking and laughing and carrying on. I'm looking, Jesus, it's the same crowd. Oh, a pastor, hurry and come. We want you to be first in line. I said, I don't want any. He says, why not? I said, something's wrong here. I was upset. I said, something is wrong here. I didn't drive all the way out here to entertain you. I said, nobody said anything upstairs. I said, I'm out of here. I left. I said, I'll get me a hooper. Some people call them whoppers, amen? I'll stop and get me a hooper. I'm going to ask you to bow with me and close your eyes for just a minute. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know the Lord. You have no fellowship at all with God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I will not embarrass you. I promise you. But I just want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand real quick and put it down. Say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I don't know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. But I want to be saved. Anyone like that? Amen. That's a beautiful sight. Perhaps you're here today and God has spoken to your heart during this message about something. And it's real easy to be out of fellowship with God, folks. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So often we don't know whether we're in the flesh or the Spirit. God has spoken to your heart. You want me to pray for you? Anyone like that? I want to pray for you. Amen. I see those hands. Someone else. Amen. That's great. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy. Lord, I saw the hands. You saw the hearts. Help each of us, Lord. Some of us are deceived about being out of fellowship. But truth is, we're not in fellowship with you. We're kind of doing our own thing. Thank you so much for allowing us to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.